Hey everybody, Brian McClanahan here. The woke madness in history education is off the rails. Well, how do we change it? McClanahanacademy.com. And because you listen to this podcast, if you use the coupon code PODCAST at checkout, you get 25% off every day, all day, 365 days a year on every class at McClanahanacademy.com. So go to McClanahanacademy.com, use coupon code PODCAST at checkout, and get a real history education at 25% off. If you like this podcast and you want it without advertisements, head over to patreon.com and become a member of the Brian McClanahan Show. For $10 a month, you get all the podcasts ad-free, including video, and you also get a special Q&A podcast. I'm only going to answer your questions, your listener-generated episodes, through those Q&A. So, head over to patreon.com. Get this podcast ad-free, no ads, not even things like this, and you really do help support the Brian McClanahan Show with really cool stuff on the back end. Get the book that Kevin Gutzman called the single best volume on original intent ever written, My Founding Fathers' Guide to the Constitution. It is the book. When people ask me what's my favorite, that's the one. Pick it up wherever books are sold online and get a real education on the Constitution. Should illegal immigrants be counted towards representation in Congress? We'll talk about that on this episode of the Brian McClanahan Show.
It's time to think locally and act locally. Welcome to the Brian McClanahan Show.
Welcome back to the Brian McClanahan Show. Glad to be back on the program. Very glad to be here. Well, we've got big news. Elon Musk tweets out the other day that if we follow the plan that Joe Biden has set in place and the Democrats are blocking, we're going to get 40 million illegal immigrants counted towards representation in Congress. And that, of course, is going to affect the Electoral College. And then, of course, that, of course, will create a situation where Democrats will never lose. They're going to control Congress. They're going to control the presidency because all of these people here illegally are being counted in the census, which is coming up in 2030. Right, so here we are, 2024, the census is 6 years away, and little known, right? It wasn't really noticed at the time. When Biden took office in 2021, he actually issued an executive order which mandated that everyone, including illegal immigrants, be counted towards representation, meaning that the census had to count them. See, this is what happens. When you get the census data, then there's a process put in place by which representatives are divvied out, right? We have 435 representatives in the House of Representatives. And those seats are divvied out amongst the states according to the census. So if you've got 40 million people, potentially, that are here in the United States illegally, but they're being counted anyways, that means that you could see some real representation shifts in the United States. Maybe California gets more seats. Maybe New York gets more seats. These sanctuary cities that have been allowing people to come in and violating the laws can simply add more seats to those states, and so you have a shift left. And of course, when that happens, when you look at the Electoral College and you think about how that's divided up, right? Every state gets the number of electors that they have as representatives in the Congress, including the Senate. Each state gets two. Actually, each state gets three because each state has one, and then, of course, two senators. So then you add up from there. So what we've seen, what we saw in 2020, was that some of the blue states actually lost representatives and some of the red states gained representatives. But if you add 40 million people in, that's not going to be the case anymore. Or is it? I mean, we don't know, because for a long time, these individuals were being bottled up in places like California, Texas, maybe Arizona, New Mexico. So it was affecting those states. But now we've seen them move around the United States at the behest of some red state governors, but also because this is the policy of the federal government. You've seen, for example, large numbers of immigrants go into places like Minnesota. Of course, that's already a blue state, so it's only going to be more blue. But when you add more people into it, maybe you get more representatives. And now you have a real shift in the Congress. So the question is any of this legal, right? Is Joe Biden's executive order based on actual American history, or is this just a political ploy? It's a really interesting question. I think what's happening now is that we've decided in America that we need to have a real citizenship debate, not necessarily, I mean, an immigration debate is something there, but the question is about citizens versus simple inhabitants. Now, when you go all the way back to 1790 and you go all the way back to the Philadelphia Convention, even before that, this was a big issue. And it's always been about one thing, power. It was about power then. It's about power now. You see, let's go back to 1787 and the Philadelphia Convention. This was openly discussed. All right, so what are we going to do? We have all the free white inhabitants, which were going to be counted. But you've got other people. You've got slaves. You've got black Americans who were not considered citizens really in any state. They could vote, actually, in North Carolina up till about 1830. And there was some discussion of allowing blacks to vote in Virginia before that, but they weren't really recognized as citizens of the United States. They could be citizens of the states. But as far as counting them towards representation, that was a whole other situation. They were going to count the free white inhabitants. Remember, 1790, we get the first naturalization law in the United States, and you had to be white and of good moral character to be a citizen of the United States. Citizen of a state was a whole other matter. You could be a citizen of a state, but not a citizen of the United States. And that's the way it used to work. But when you get to the census of 1790, this is actually brought up. Well, how do you count people? Well, they would just go in and count everybody. In fact, that was actually the law. You count everybody you come across, whether they're a citizen or not. You don't even ask them that question. So if they're here, they're counted. Now, what about blacks? Because, of course, you had the issue of free and enslaved blacks. So how does that work? Free and slave. How does that work? Well, they're going to be counted too, but in terms of slaves, 3/5 of a person towards representation in Congress. And also, by the way, blacks overall, whether they're free or slave, 3/5 of a person towards representation of Congress. See, that's the other secret. Now, why would the South want to count people like slaves towards representation in Congress who weren't citizens? Well, because they wanted to ensure they wouldn't be taxed out of existence by the North. This is all over the Philadelphia Convention. It's all over the records. You can go back and read it. And Eastern states, what they call the Eastern states, which is basically New England, didn't want to count at all because they feared that if the South could count these people and if slavery could be brought into other states, and you have new states and they're slave states, well, what's going to happen? They're going to be the minority, a permanent minority. This is what they worried about. And they said it openly in 1787. Now, Southerners wanted them counted as one whole person towards representation in Congress. Again, that's all over the records. Now, not every Southern state, but the states of South Carolina and Georgia certainly did. There was some debate about this. You know, Pierce Butler and Charles Pinckney of South Carolina actually brought this up. Well, we want to count them as a whole person. Forget this 3/5 ratio stuff. Let's count them as a whole person. And Butler actually made a really interesting statement. Well, these people can, I mean, they're really important. They serve as a really important part of the infrastructure of the South. I mean, they do, of course, there are laborers. They're better. They're actually better laborers than white laborers, peasants in the North. He called them that. They actually do a better job. And Randolph, who was there, said, well, wait a second here. While I don't necessarily agree with you that we should count them as, it was either Mason or Randolph, can't remember off the top of my head, but saying, while I don't really think that we should count them as a whole person, they actually can serve to defend the state of Virginia if we needed them to. In other words, we can arm these people. That's really interesting. So this whole perspective that we have in modern society that Southerners look at these people as mere chattel is not supported by the record. They looked at them as people. Hugh Williamson of North Carolina said, well, they're rational beings. We should count them as one whole person towards representation. I mean, what's the problem? They're rational beings. He said that. Northerners said, no, we're not ever going to have whites and blacks on equal terms. That was actually said openly. No, we're not going to have black. And they talked about the horror. James Wilson of Pennsylvania talked about the horror of interracial breeding that would go on because of this. I mean, you can't have that. Race mixing? No, you can't have any of that. This is from Pennsylvania. So it's really interesting how you have this perspective of the South being that these people are just chattel and everything else. And of course, you go and read the record, and it's like, well, wait a second, that doesn't fit. I mean, you've got some of these different debates, and there were Northerners like Oliver Ellsworth of Connecticut who said, we should just end slavery right now. We should just, we could take it, we could do it right now and just be done with it. That statement dropped, and nobody said anything else about it because nobody was going to do that. No one was going to do that. And the Three-Fifths Compromise didn't put slavery on the pathway to extinction at all. At all. In fact, I mean, Roger Sherman of Connecticut said, look, let's live and let live. They're going to have what they have. We have what we have. And we have a federal republic here, and they're not going to affect us, essentially. So it's really interesting how that worked, but at the end of the day, why was this even an issue in 1787? Well, because of power. It wasn't a humanitarian issue. It wasn't an issue that had to do with anything about the rights of man or natural law or anything else. No. It was about power. The North was afraid and trying to protect their control of the general government. The South was afraid trying to protect their control of the general government. And so you had this issue of non-citizens being thrown into the mix. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Illegal immigrants are not citizens. They're not citizens of the states in which they live. They're not citizens of the United States. So the question becomes, why should we even count these people towards representation in Congress? In fact, that is the question that needs to be asked. And the Trump administration actually tried to make this a point. Hey, maybe we should ask that question when we take the census. Are you a citizen of the United States? Can you prove that? I mean, is this not something we should actually be thinking about now? As in 1790, the powers of the general government were so limited. And you think about this, and power shifted in some ways. So yes, you could have more people, but it was about taxes back then, right? The South didn't want to be taxed out of existence. They didn't want their slave property to be taxed either. I mean, that was a whole other situation. But what they didn't want is to be taxed by the North. They didn't want protective tariffs. They didn't want some of these things they thought they would get. Should the North be able to control the general government at will? But nowadays, the general government has so much power. It can do so many things. It's the largest and most powerful government in the history of the world. The general government of the United States can do so many things. This issue becomes really, really important because of the services, the goods, the money, everything that's spent. And you have a government in Washington that is not really representative of anybody anymore, except for special interest groups. Big corporations, big money. I mean, this is really all it is. There's so much money. You're talking trillions and trillions of dollars. There's so much power here that maybe because of the expansion of the general government, we should have this conversation about citizenship in the United States. What does it actually mean? What kind of things does that actually confer, or what kind of advantages, disadvantages does that have? And should we only count citizens towards representation in Congress? Because theoretically, you are simply representing citizens of the United States. That's not what Biden says. That's not what the Biden executive order says. They said it's humanity. You're representing all these people, whether they're citizens or not. So why don't we just start counting the whole world? Just count everybody. We're representing all of humanity. What about a person that's here for a little while? What happens if they're here when the census taker comes around? They're here illegally. They're booted out a week later. They go back home. They're deported for whatever reason. Should that person still have been counted? Well, I know the way this works is that you have addresses. As a census taker, you go around to addresses and you say, all right, well, who's in here? And you start taking the data. And of course, things are mailed out. But there is a push in the Census Bureau to go find places that have not been put down on the map. So who's to say you don't just walk around the city and you got all these homeless camps and everything else is write these people down. Now, maybe they are citizens. Well, in that case, they should be counted. What if you go into areas where you have large numbers of illegal aliens there and you write down these people are here, head of household, whatever, who they are? Are they, should they be here or should they not be here? Are they citizens or not? This is something that should be a question we should be asking now. And, and Republicans in Congress are starting to ask this question. I'm actually going to read a piece where this is being discussed. Headline, illegal immigration could have major impact on House seats, electoral college, say experts. Immigration experts are raising the alarm about how the increasing flow of migrants illegally crossing into the United States may significantly impact states' representation in the House of Representatives and Electoral College. Shortly after taking office in January 2021, President Biden signed an executive order requiring that the U.S. Census Bureau factor in all residents, including non-citizens, as part of this, of its decennial calculation of the U.S. population. As a result, the apportionment of House seats and therefore electoral votes for presidential elections could be swayed as migrants continue to pour over the southern border. Could be. I mean, we don't know how this is working. Again, you have to understand how the census works. It's going to be mailed out to everybody. So if you have a mailing address, you're going to get a census. An illegal alien may not get one, but they might. And then you have census takers that'll walk around. So if you have crooked census takers that are just going to say, well, look, we're going to find as many people as we can in this area because this is what we want to do. Remember, the Census Bureau has, you know, people that live in those areas are the ones who canvass the area to try to get people to take the census. I actually did this when I was in graduate school at that time. It was the 2000 census. I worked for them, and it was a little dicey at times. People get pretty upset when you show up to try to take the census at times. And so I was pretty good at getting people to take it, but there were some places I just had no success, and I got out of there as fast as I could because it just wasn't safe. But regardless, that was I needed some money. I needed some cash as a starving graduate student. But regardless, you had a situation there where it was up to the people in those offices to try to find. They would have maps. Hey, go out here and check this out. Go here. And of course, now with technology, you can see, you can use, you know, Google Earth and other things to find places. It might be houses or other people living that you don't know about. So try to get as many people as you can. And in these areas, maybe you're going to try to get people that maybe they're not here legally. They're not here legally in the United States. So should they really be counted is the question. Illegal immigration has all kinds of effects, and among them is that it distorts the mechanics of democratic government. Mark Krikorian, the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, told Fox News Digital in an interview, illegal immigrants aren't even supposed to be here, so their inclusion in the census count for purposes of apportionment really is outrageous. Now, again, this is the question. Who should we be counting? Citizens or non-citizens? We know that anybody that's born here as a citizen of the United States, according to the Supreme Court, now we could have that conversation too, but regardless, if you've got people that aren't, in 1790, you had a large number of people that were born here that were not citizens, but they were still born here. These people weren't born here. They just showed up. So you have a real question now. Should you have a question where you say, were you born in the United States? Now, how are you going to check that? How is a census taker really going to check this? See, this is the whole issue. And how is a census taker going to enforce this? I mean, Trump wanted to have a question on the census, but how is a census taker really, and you can lie, how is this really going to happen? This is the issue. And this is, I mean, Biden knows this. The Democrats know this. They all know it. It's really about power. They want to ensure that they win elections. So with Biden issuing this executive order, and I pulled that up, which was actually kind of interesting. I thought I had it here. Yeah, is this it? Yeah, this is the executive order. It's executive order 13986. And it says, we have long guaranteed all the nation's inhabitants representation in the House of Representatives. That's a weird statement because we haven't. All the nation's inhabitants representation. This tradition is foundational to our representative democracy, for our elected representatives have a responsibility to represent their interests of all people residing in the United States and affected by our laws. Now, and affected by our laws, the tradition also respects the dignity and humanity of every person. Accordingly, the executive branch has always determined the population of each state for purposes of congressional representation, without regard to whether his residence or in lawful immigration status. Now, he brings up the 14th Amendment. See, look, you got the 14th Amendment. Now, why was the 14th Amendment there? Because you had large numbers of people, over 3 million people who were born in the United States, former slaves, who had to be counted towards representation. Now, the Republicans figured something out pretty quickly here. Oops, if we do that, you see, they're only 3/5 of a person before that. Now they're a whole person. What happens if the Democrats, this is going to increase the number of people in the South and in the House of Representatives. What happens if the Democrats take control of all this? Uh-oh, we got to disfranchise all those people. See, they figured this out real quick. We can't have that happen. We got to disfranchise all the white Southerners. Just get the black Southerners to vote. This is the 1868 election. And so that way we can control this. Well, it didn't work long term, but it actually increased the representation of the South in the House of Representatives. You had to count the whole number of persons in each state, right? That undid the 3/5 compromise. It's interesting. Biden said in his executive order, at no point since our nation's founding has a person's immigration status alone served as a basis for excluding that person from the total population count used in apportionment. At no point. Well, I mean, look, he's not necessarily incorrect about that. This is why we should be having this conversation now. Because we're seeing, if you don't control the border, you see, but what's being left out is that for years, the United States really tried to control the border, in the 20th century in particular. They tried to control who could enter and who couldn't enter. This is Ellis Island. This is everything that was happening. People were dumping into New York. And New York was trying to control it. Who could enter, who couldn't. They would send a lot of people back. We don't do any of that anymore. I mean, there's laws on the books that would think you would. And of course, the Biden administration will show statistics. Yeah, we're turning people away. We're turning people out. We're turning people back. A lot of people are just showing up and they're letting them go. It's catch and release. Before the Civil War and the abolition of slavery, the Constitution did not give equal weight to every person counted under the census. In accord with constitutional and statutory requirements, however, every apportionment since ratification of the 14th Amendment has calculated each state's share of representation based on the whole number of persons in each state, excluding only Indians not taxed, an express constitutional exception that no longer has legal or practical effect. The term persons in each state has always been understood to include every person whose usual place of residence was in that state as of the designated census date. And he gives you, I mean, there's court cases on this. Look, I don't disagree with this. That's what's happened. But should it be happening is the question. So let's go back to the article. There are a lot of close votes in Congress, more than there used to be, so it can, in fact, make a difference, Krikorian said. It shouldn't be a question of, does this give you personally more influence in Washington? The question should be, is it right? Is it healthy for a democratic process to be distorted this way? The answer is no. So again, this is the real question now. It was a question people were asking actually in 1787. Do we want these people who aren't citizens counted towards representation? That's going to give the South more power. We don't want that if New England. The South is saying, well, look, if we don't count these people, you're just going to run over us all the time. So we need to count them because you're going to tax us out of existence. It always came down to power. Overall, according to the Federation for American Immigration Reform, there are an estimated 16.8 million illegal immigrants living in the U.S. as of June 2023. Therefore, because every House seat represents 761,000 residents on average, the total number of legal immigrants account for roughly 22 seats in the House. Now, of course, we're capped at 435, so it's going to move it all around. But think about that. Let's just go to that representative ratio again. 760,000 to 1. It's not a real representative government at all. It's not even close. If you go back again to the Philadelphia Convention and look at debates, 40,000 to 1 was seen as too high for a good representative government, even in a general government that only had very limited powers. It was still too high. We're at 760,000 to one. This is something I brought up in a previous podcast. I've done this that issue several times. That's not real representative government. It can't be. It really doesn't matter. You see, all that matters at the end of the day is not representative government. These people aren't going to be represented no matter what Joe Biden says in an executive order. It's laughable. It's laughable. The real issue is power. And when you've got trillion-dollar plus budgets, how can you divvy up that cash to all of your buddies? You see? How can that cash make you more powerful? How much do my Defense Department buddies get? How much do my other government agency buddies get? How much money do the different industries in America, and it's not just, you know, actual making things, but it can be soft industries too, like education. How much money do my buddies get in these different areas? And the most recent census, which was conducted in 2020, reduced the number of House seats apportioned to New York from 27 to 26. The state, according to the Census Bureau, would have needed just 89 more residents to maintain its previous apportionment, a calculation that highlights how fragile states' House seats levels really are. In addition, electoral votes for presidential elections are distributed to states based on how many representatives in Congress they have. Therefore, a state with a larger number of House seats has greater influence during presidential elections every 4 years. It doesn't get enough attention, and with millions coming in right now, it deserves a bright, hot spotlight, Lori Reeves, director of the Heritage Foundation's Border Security and Immigration Center, told Fox News Digital in an interview. Earlier this month, Reeves published an essay alongside R.J. Howman, the president of the Immigration Center for Enforcement, warning that illegal immigration is triggering a warped representation in Congress. Barring the census from including non-citizens in apportionment is critical in making sure that American citizens, the only population who can and should vote in U.S. elections, are picking America's leaders. So notice the important thing here is not just residents, but citizens. That becomes the issue. Who can be counted? Citizens or not? That's the real issue now. It's not about anything but citizenship. So if all these people became citizens, well, then you count them. But if they're not citizens, should they be counted? Particularly now that we've made it so easy. I mean, you just got to be born here to be a citizen. We're going to count everybody born here. 1790, that wasn't the case. In 1800, 1810, 1820, 1830, that wasn't the case. Now, being born here because of the 14th Amendment, according to the Supreme Court, gives you citizenship. So, does that person count it? Biden's intentional border crisis has produced unprecedented apportionment issues, distorting the representation that states have in the House and how many electoral votes they have in presidential elections. The pair argued that prohibiting the Census Bureau from counting illegal immigrants toward its apportionment population would discourage sanctuary policies in Democrat-led cities and states. They further argued that such a policy would ensure that only American citizens shape our political landscape and prevent foreign nationals from determining the political destiny of the U.S. I mean, yes, this is a security issue. They're 100% correct about this. This is the question that we should be having. Citizenship should be the issue when we're counting people towards representation in Congress. It's logically sound. The enforcement of that is going to be difficult. This is why stopping the flow of people coming across the border is essential for security of the United States and the states themselves. Reeves and Howman also called for Congress to pass the Equal Representation Act, which Senators Bill Hagerty, Bill Cassidy, and 20 fellow Senate Republicans introduced late last month. Under the legislation, the Census Bureau will be required to include a citizenship question in any future census and prohibit non-citizens from being counted for congressional district and electoral college apportionment. Representatives Chuck Edwards and Warren Davidson introduced companion legislation in the House days later. There was a vote on this, and all the Democrats voted against it. Why? Why would they do that? Because of power. It is unconscionable that legal immigrants and non-citizens are counted towards congressional district apportionment in our electoral maps, said Hagerty. While people continue to flee Democrat-run cities, desperate Democrats are backfilling the mass exodus with illegal immigrants, so they do not lose their seats in Congress and maintain electoral votes for the presidency and hence artificially boost their political power, which in turn dilutes the power of other American votes, he added. Yes. I mean, he's exactly right about this. People that aren't citizens should not have a say in what happens in the United States Congress. Would this be going on in any other country? Would non-citizens be allowed to have this kind of representation in any other country in the world? No. Only here in the United States. And it's only about power. The Democrats, he's right, the Democrats are backfilling. They're trying to keep their representation up so they can continue to get those trillions of dollars. Because they know if they don't do this, guess what? They lose. They lose seats, they go into other places, and because of that, they lose their permanent majority, which they think they're trying to get. Hagerty's bill comes years after former President Trump attempted to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census questionnaire. Trump's efforts sparked widespread criticism and condemnation from Democrats and left-wing immigration groups who argued that a citizenship question was unlawful and was designed to help Republicans in future elections. The Trump administration ultimately abandoned the effort in July 2019 after an unfavorable Supreme Court ruling. Trump said at the time that allowing non-citizens to be counted was part of a broader left-wing effort to erode the rights of the American citizen. So here is the other issue. Because of a Supreme Court ruling, this is going to be very hard to do. You see, there's the left's other legislative body. Now I know, well, wait a second, McClanahan, the conservatives control that now. This is true. I think that, I mean, maybe you would see a situation where they would say, yeah, I mean, you can do this. But the language of the 14th Amendment is going to make it difficult. So the 14th Amendment always rears its ugly head, right? Gotta count. You gotta count. I mean, let me go back to the language as they point out in this thing. I mean, the 14th Amendment, as they say, among the several states, according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, right? Now, from a situation looking at this logically, well, yeah, we had immigration back then. There was a lot of it in many northern cities, in Boston and New York and places like that. You had a lot of foreigners fighting for the Union Army. Weren't even citizens yet. I mean, they just fought, right? They show up at the docks. Hey, you want $500 and three hots and a cot? Go fight the Confederates. And they did it. Right? This is William Marvel's book, Lincoln's Mercenaries, is great. I mean, he gets into all this stuff. And they did it. You had blacks who were fighting for the North, were not citizens. So you had non-citizens fighting for the Union. Which, those people were counted. So this becomes a real question. Is the 14th Amendment going to be a block to any of this happening? And if so, is there anything to be done about it? It obviously helps states that have high illegal immigrant population. The best way to say it's a perverse incentive to states to grow their population through illegal immigration. Eric Rourke, the director of research for Numbers USA, told Fox News Digital Interview, federal dollars are also based upon population. States who have a higher illegal immigrant population are going to see more federal funding. Oh, so you mean it's about money and power? Yeah. What did I just say? It's all about money and power. To have a democratic society, you need to recognize limits on who qualifies as a citizen or as someone who has representation, Rourke continued. And I don't know if Americans really believe that anyone who shows up and comes over the border should be representative equally in Congress as compared to American citizens. I mean, I think if you were to generally poll people, they would say, well, that just makes sense. I mean, someone is not here. Look, even if they're here legally, should they still be counted? If someone is a foreigner in the United States, should they be counted towards representation? If they're going to go back at some point, or maybe they're here on a green card, they're here as a student, should we count them? Probably not. But you know what? I mean, I would say definitely not. But you know what? This is what happens. Because you got people, they just want to count them. Because counting them means money and power. Meanwhile, in January, the federal government reported more than 156,000 migrant encounters at the U.S. southern border, a slight year-over uptick, but a decrease compared to the month prior. In December, more than 302,000 migrants were encountered crossing the border, by far the largest single-month figure ever recorded. 302,000 people in 1 month. The December figures brought the fiscal 2024 first quarter level to 785,000 encounters, the highest number ever recorded. The U.S. Census Bureau will conduct its next census in 2030, which will impact House seats beginning in 2033. So, dump them over the border. So if you look at 2024 and the election of 2024, I mean, look, if Trump wins in 2024, there might be a general or gradual decline in this. But what happens when Trump is out of office in 2029? You just have another executive order come in. We're going to have all this stuff happen. You see, this is the issue. When you have executive government, there's so many larger structural issues at stake here and working and playing in here. Right, executive government. We've got American kings, and they can just do whatever they want. They can sign Trump signs an executive order, then Biden comes in and signs an executive order, then Trump's going to come in and sign another executive order. This is why executive government is dangerous. Why government by judiciary is dangerous. Why we need real federalism. Why we need a Congress that only has limited powers. This is what it's all about. But you know what? We haven't had that for a very long time. And so this is a big question. Citizenship should be an issue when it comes to representation. We should start having this conversation now. Who should be a citizen? I mean, should we just count citizens toward representation? In fact, that's what was being addressed in 1787. Well, who should really be counted? Now, these people are just, they're slaves. They shouldn't. I mean, Northerners didn't want to count them. They're slaves. Southerners, well, why not? They actually do a lot of things around here. They're just like your peasants. And we could arm them, but maybe not counting. Maybe some Southerners say, well, maybe three-fifths is okay. I mean, we should just do that. You see, there's a whole lot of things going on here, but it was about power then. It's about power now. It's always about power. It's not about humanitarianism. It's about power. The Democrats might play that card. Well, we're interested in giving people equal dignity in voting, as Joe Biden says in January 2021. No, no, no. Why don't you just be honest? Look, we want to have all these people go in these cities so we can get more votes. Because that's what it's about. But they never say the truth out loud. It's very easy to see. It's easy to see through all of this. This is a big issue. It's going to be one of the biggest issues we have moving forward in the United States. And it's going to have major implications because of the size and power of the central government. Because we have an elected king. Because we have a government that spends trillions and trillions of dollars. That's the issue. If we didn't have that, we had much more decentralized government, maybe this doesn't even matter. If we didn't have an elected king, maybe this doesn't even matter. But because of the size and power of the government, it really does matter because of the bounties that that government bestows on its favorite citizens. See you next time with the Brian McClanahan Show. See you then.